It's 13 minutes to 10 on 702 ABC Sydney. Now, as I said earlier, if you're in traffic at the moment, just take a moment to look around. How many black or dark coloured cars can you see? I wonder if actually you're in one of them. Now, is the air conditioning honked right up to the max? Think about the colour of the car and whether or not it's actually contributed to how hot the car is inside, whether it's stationary or actually moving along the road. And in the same way there, Carolyn just spoke about the effect of every little bit helping, you have to think about the number of cars on the road and if there was something you could do with each of those to get a little bit of benefit, you could actually make quite a difference all added together. Amazingly, the colour of the car paint might actually be something to consider. Some of those questions have emerged because of research done in California. And my next guest is Rowan Levinson. He's a staff scientist at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory in Berkeley, California. Ronan, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Ronan, can you explain this research that you have done, which appears to say that the colour of the car can make it's a small but significant impact on fuel consumption and therefore greenhouse gas emissions, carbon emissions, simply because of the colour of the car?
Absolutely. The air conditioner in a car is sized for the worst possible case, which is a black car parked facing the sun on a hot, sunny summer day, which means that the air conditioner is actually built larger than it needs to be if the car were in a cool color, for example, white or silver, which are very popular all around the world. So we did a little study, and we put two cars, identical except for the color. One was black and one was silver. These were compact cars. And we put them side by side on a hot, sunny day in California. And we measured the temperatures inside the cars as they were parked and then as they were cooled by running the air conditioning. The first thing that we found was that, as you might expect, the temperature of the roof of the black car was about 25 degrees Celsius warmer than that of the roof of the silver car. We also found that after parking the cars side by side in the sun for an hour, that the temperature of the air in the cabin in the silver car was about 6 degrees Celsius lower than that in the black car. And it turns out that you could, in fact, install an air conditioner in a silver car or a white car that's about 15% smaller in capacity, ability to remove heat, than would be required for a black car. So we already know that people like buying white and silver cars. We've now determined that you could, in fact, have smaller air conditioners in them. And by virtue of having the smaller air conditioner, you put a smaller load on the car's engine when it's running. And in turn, that would reduce the fuel consumed by the car by about 2%. Just by picking a white car or a silver car with an appropriately sized air conditioner.
Now, that raises all sorts of interesting questions, not least of which for the big car manufacturers. Do you think there might be a case, once they hear of this research, for them to actually put a disincentive in front of customers who want a darker colour car so that they can trumpet their achievements as companies trying to be proactive about positive environmental messages, engagements and actions?
Well, I think that car manufacturers will, once they realize this, take the opportunity to sell light-colored cars with these smaller air conditioners because they can offer both better fuel economy and possibly it may reduce the cost of the system. After all, it's a lower-capacity air conditioner.
It's an idea also that a lot of people talk about differentiated registration processes in all sorts of different parts of the world. So there are actual, you know, active incentives and disincentives for people to own certain types of vehicles. So in some jurisdictions, you pay almost no registration for an electric car, for example, but you'll pay a fortune for a really old clunker and even to get access to some parts of a city. You know, this is just sort of the way that the world is moving to try and deal with some of these questions. So you could sort of see the possibility that in registration practices, you could charge an adjusted rate, in other words, a cheaper fee, even just by a few dollars, for someone registering a lighter colour car. Like, there are lots of signals the market can send here.
That's absolutely right. In fact, I think the simplest way to send such signals is based on the fuel economy of the car, because there are lots of different measures that you can take to make a car more fuel efficient. And I don't want to say that somebody has to go out and buy a white or silver car. If they want to buy a black car instead, that's okay. Maybe they'll need to go buy a hybrid car or a car that for some other reason, because of its shape, might have a better fuel economy.
Now, because car design is so interesting and so prone to the trends of the moment, and you still see some quite sporty, smaller cars that will have a white roof, for example, but have a body colour of a dark sort of shade. Now, is it the roof colour that's the key here?
Yes. The colour of the doors does matter, but the surface that will get the most sun and that is in contact with car cabin is the roof. So I have seen small cars that are like that, and in fact, it's common for school buses to have white roofs for exactly this reason.
Well, that's another interesting element. I mean, if you think about the application of this idea to all kinds of public transport, a lot of trains, for example, have dark-coloured livery. You know, lots of people use dark-coloured livery because it looks sharp and stylish. Now, can this sort of thinking that you're doing at the Lawrence Berkeley National Lab there on cars be applied to any vehicle?
Absolutely. It could certainly be applied to trains, and that's a popular thought among researchers who do the kind of work that I do is we should look at these things other than cars. For example, actually most of the work that we do has to do with buildings, white roofs on buildings. But you mentioned that people like to put, for example, dark cars because dark roofs on trains and cars because they look flash, which is true. But it turns out that we can design dark colors that stay cooler than ordinary versions of these dark surfaces. And even in a car, this could be a very interesting idea because it means that I could not only make a black car that absorbed one-third less sunlight than a ordinary black car, but if you look around a car, in fact, I'm sitting in my car now in the spirit of this interview, you have some surfaces that almost have to be dark. For example, your dashboard, to prevent a strong glare to the driver. Well, a dashboard might reflect perhaps 5 or 10% of sunlight because it was designed to be dark. We can create a cool, dark dashboard that looks exactly the same as the dashboard that you have today, but reflects 40% of the sunlight. The magic is it's not going to reflect the visible sunlight, it's going to reflect the invisible half of the sunlight. And we found in our study that the hottest surfaces in the black car were, of course, the roof, but then the dashboard. And in the silver car, the very hottest surface in the vehicle, that was the black dashboard. The dashboard heats the air in the cabin.
So how do you make cooler dark colors?
That's a great question. We take advantage of the fact that only about half of the energy in sunlight can be seen by your eye. Most of it is, in fact, this longer wave invisible we call near-infrared light. And there are certain pigments that really don't absorb that near-infrared light. Some, in fact, will scatter it. And in other cases, you can combine those cool black pigments with some sort of a substrate, like a white surface or a shiny metal surface underneath, that does the job of reflecting the invisible sunlight.
Now, I'd like to take a call here, if I can, if you could just bear with me, Ronan. It's Martin on the line. G'day, Martin.
Hi there. Yes, I was wanting to comment. I have a 1955 car, which I use quite frequently. It's probably 15 degrees cooler than my modern car on the same day. There's two reasons for that. One is the fact that the glass doesn't slope and create a lovely solar oven, as most modern cars do. But the one that really offends me is the fact that where they sample the air from for the normal vented air into the car is actually heated to above the ambient temperature. So if I'm going along on a day that's 24 degrees, in my old car, I can just open up the air vents and get air at 24 degrees and I'm comfortable. If I'm doing the same thing in my modern car, the air coming in will actually be at 28, 29.
I think we can all relate to this, Martin. I think, you know, Ronan, what do you think about that?
Well, actually, I have had the same experience. For 17 years, I've driven a white car, but even so, there are days when you turn on the ventilation and it's the air coming through the car's vents is a lot warmer. It has to do with a couple of things. Of course, where the air is being sampled, but also the path the air has to follow to get into the cabin. It's common that when you have a car that's been parked in the sun, the interior of the cabin, not just the air, but all the surfaces inside have been cooking for a long time. So the body of the car gets quite warm. That means that when the air goes from outside, where it might be, as you say, 24C, to come inside, it's passing through this very heated path.
Now, David, good morning to you.
Morning.
You got a quick question?
I was going to say, what's the marginal offset when you take into account that in the winter a darker car was warmer and cost less to heat?
Okay, that's a good question. Does it rebalance, Ronan?
That is a wonderful question. In the case of a car, there are two things to consider. First of all, unless you're talking about an electric vehicle, if you're talking about an ordinary internal combustion engine in a car, there is tons of waste heat. That's where it comes from. You really don't need to run your engine any harder to produce the heat required to warm the inside of your car. The second thing to consider, and this is true for cool surfaces, whether they're on buildings or on cars, is that in winter, because the sun is lower and because the days are shorter, there really isn't as much sunlight available to warm your car in the first place. So when you make the body of your car more reflective to sunlight, there's much less to lose. This is why the benefit in summer from a cool surface almost always exceeds the penalty in winter.
Thank you very, very much, Ronan. It's wonderful to have the benefit of your terrific research, and it's made us all think, I think. Thank you.
It's been my pleasure to speak to you. Have a wonderful morning.
Thank you. Ronan Levinson is a staff scientist at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory in Berkeley, California, and has just published this interesting research, and you can certainly go there and find the complete paper. It's been published. Ronan's easy enough to find on the internet. It's a minute to 10 here on 702 ABC Sydney.